There we go. Waiting. Maybe you know something about waiting. It's not an unusual thing, you know, for a Jew to wait. We have been waiting for thousands of years since Adam and Eve fell out of the garden, waiting since Noah came out of the ark. Abraham knew something about waiting. Waiting almost 100 years to have a son. Jacob waited 14 years for the girl of his dreams, though he got another one in 7. 400 years we waited in Egypt for a deliverer to come. And then, due to our own stubbornness, 40 years waited in the wilderness. In the promised land, we waited for a king. And then we lost all of those kings, and we have waited for centuries in exile under the Assyrians, waiting, the Babylonians, waiting. The Medes, the Greeks, the Romans, waiting. What are you waiting for? We're waiting for Messiah. Oh yes, everybody knows that, Simeon. We're all waiting for Messiah. Yes! But I know something that makes it worthwhile. I know when the Messiah will come. Well, not exactly when, but I know that the Messiah will come. Oh, yes, Simeon, everybody knows that. Yes, yes, but I know that the Messiah will come in my lifetime. How do you know? Well, wait a minute, I'll tell you. I know because the Holy Spirit told me it was so. I know that he will come before the end of my life. And so that must be soon, because my life is getting very long. It was years ago when the message came to me, but I knew it was true. It was so very clear. The Holy Spirit himself, like the prophets of old, came and told me the consolation of Israel is near at hand. The Lord will keep his promise. And every day since then, I've come to this spot here in the temple to wait and to search for the coming of God's promised Messiah. Oh, in my spare time, I study and I scour to see who he will be. Do you know what Isaiah says? Isaiah says he will be born of a virgin. Oh, Simeon, some say, he means a young woman. Oh, perhaps. But he said virgin. You know what Micah says? Micah says that he will be born in the town of David, which is just over there. Short little walk, if your legs are still good. I haven't been to Bethlehem for a while, but I know it's not far. And so I find myself thinking, perhaps, surely, he will come. So I look and I watch. Maybe it will be a young woman, maybe alone, maybe with her parents, maybe with the baby. And I wait. Whose son will he be? Oh, everybody knows that, Simeon. He'll be David's son. Yes, yes, but whose son will he be? David has many descendants now, maybe one of the aristocracy, maybe from one of the political families, maybe one with a great deal of money. He could use some of that money if he wants to raise up an army to throw off this Roman yoke. But the scriptures say that he will lead many to righteousness, that he will be a prince of peace. So maybe he will come from one of the great rabbinic families and be a great teacher. Oh, these years of waiting have tired me. I am no longer the man I once was. My legs ache. They say the legs are the first to go, you know. My eyes grow weak, so that I must draw near in order to see the faces of those entering to worship. My back is not as straight as it used to be. I can neither sit nor stand comfortably. And it's clear to me that my life is leaking away. And I wonder sometimes, have I missed him? But then I remember God's promise. Tomorrow I will come, I will sit, I will wait some more. Today, everything changed. Oh, Simeon, you kind of buried the lead there. It's my story, I'll tell it my way. The new day started the way every new day in Jerusalem starts, with the sun slowly setting over the horizon. Yes, that's how the new day begins every day in Jerusalem. How does it begin here? As the sun sets, the new day begins. I light my little oil lamp and I sit down to read and to study. I must have drifted off and my lamp went out. And when I opened my eyes, I had to check to see if I had opened my eyes, because it was cloudy outside and there was no sun and no moon and no lamp. And when there is no sun and no moon and no stars and no lamp, there is no light. It is utter darkness. It would be nice if a person could just flip their fingers like that and lights would come on, but that doesn't happen here. And so I had to sit there in my chair. One does not know where they've left books and don't dare stumble trying to find their way to bed. So all night I sat in my chair and waited. And I thought to myself, how glorious is the dawn. When the sun comes up and even the poorest man's house is lit more brightly than the richest man's candles. How powerful the sun. And as I made my way to the temple that day, I found myself thinking about the glory of God. What is the glory of God? What does it mean, the glory of God? Is not glory the highest, the brightest, the most beautiful, the most powerful, the most desirable glory? I got to the temple and I did as I normally do. The gates had just opened. There was Anna. Hello, Anna. She's very old. No sun, no moon or stars last night. Yes, of course, there's moon and stars, just lots of clouds. Yes, the elderly, they always have a comeback for something. Well, have a good day. I settled in, thinking and waiting. I glanced then towards the gates, and that was when it happened. Suddenly, something was different. It was as if my sight was clear, as if I had better eyes, and I saw them. There was a couple coming towards me, a young woman, a youngish man, a little baby, and he was carrying something. It was a basket. How do you say in your language with birds in it? Cage, yes, a cage. And I recognize here two little birds. He must have bought them just outside the gates. This, the peasant's offering for purification. But it was so clear, this is the one I had waited for. This is the Messiah. Oh, the young couple seemed so awestruck when I approached them and took this little child in my arms. Perhaps they saw on my face what I felt in my heart. And as my eyes fell upon the eyes of this little child, this infant, I knew in my arms I held the Messiah, the Savior of Israel. But in that moment, the Holy Spirit made it so clear, no, more than the Savior of Israel. Just as the sun dawns and casts light everywhere, so this was the dawning of a new day. That dawn would come even upon the Gentiles and shed light to places that we had never conceived of before. And I opened my mouth to speak, and the words came, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant into peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Here in my arms I held the glory of Israel, the brightest, the most beautiful, the most powerful, the highest, the best. And oh, how the young couple marveled at these words. How strange it seemed, the scene before me, and how much stranger to those standing around who could only hear the words of an old man and not see his heart. And as I peered into the face of this child and looked at the mother, it seemed to me that I was brought to the very edge of history and shown what this child would be. I saw that his rise would cause the fall of some and the rise of others. I saw in my vision some of the young priests that I see around the temple now growing to old age, but not joyous, but angry. Their faces contorted with rage. I saw others, poor, leprous, destitute, sinful, walking with this babe now grown to a man, made well and made whole and welcomed in. And I heard the words that he would speak, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. What sort of Messiah would this be? And then I saw a place just outside the city gates. It's the place of crucifixion. The Romans use it often, Golgotha. And on the hill of Golgotha, I saw a cross. And on the cross, I saw this man. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then in the future, an empty tomb. And so here I am. I'm no longer waiting, well, sort of waiting. Waiting because I know finally the end can come, but ready for it now. The Lord will dismiss me in peace. I have seen him, the one who has come. And I have one question left. What are you waiting for? The scripture about this man is true. That Jesus will cause the rise and fall of many. That many will rise to eternal life only through Jesus Christ, because they have laid their hope and their faith entirely on him. And that there are others, some of them, who attended church all their life, who will fall because they did not receive him, because they rejected him. He is the one who reveals hearts. How long will you wait before you make that decision to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to rest in him? God has sent his salvation into the world, and his salvation is available to all who will believe. And so I close again with these words. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Let's pray. Father, you have sent your salvation to us thousands of years ago in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you tell us the story in your word, but Father, you lay this challenge before us and remind us, Lord, that a decision has to be made, that we must do something with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we must either rest in him as our only hope or reject him and trust ourselves. And Father, that there are many, Lord, some who we would most expect to rise, who will ultimately hear the words, I never knew you. And there are others, Lord, who will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And at the heart of all of that, Lord, rests the Lord Jesus Christ and what we do with him. So I pray, Father, that this message would not fall on deaf ears, but that all who hear it, Lord, might make their calling and election sure, might look to the Lord Jesus Christ as their sole hope and find in him salvation and eternal life. Lord, these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.